of our faith. Amen. Yeah, God started us on this journey. Yes, he did. And he's going to complete the journey with us, for us. He is good. I'm going to be reading out of the book of Jeremiah chapter 13 this morning. Let me jump over to Job 42 and 41. Got a little bit of reading to do this morning. How many still love God in spite of what's going on? How many still worship God in spite of what we're going through? How many know God is still going? How many know God is still good because that's just his nature? He is good. He is good. And God ain't forgot about us. I want you to know that. I know he ain't forgot about y'all. Listen to the testimonies. God's setting you up, like I said before. He's setting you up. Your steps are ordered of the Lord, my sister. I mean, I know you see it. I know he's opened up your eyes so you can see what he's doing. And God, he's going to put you in a place where you thought, Jackie, you never would be. And you ain't going to say no more, I can't do this. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Wherever God bring you to, sister, it's for you. And God going to work it out for you. God work things out for us, don't he? Even when we don't feel like going that way. He make it so you can go anyway. Go anyway, because I got something for you. God is just amazing, God. Do thank the Lord for being here this morning. Thank God for Pastor. We pray for her on this morning. We pray that God will continue to strengthen her and keep her, lead and guide her, watch over her and comfort her this morning. Pray, God, for all those that are going through this morning. There's a work out there to be done. There's so much work to be done. And God is going to do it. You know, God is going to do it, but God wants to see if we will go anyway. You know, he's looking for people that's going to give ear to him, that's going to listen to him and obey him. Is that right? God looking for obedience and for those that will say, go. And I feel like I can give this testimony now, you know, because I feel like God is telling us to go and do these things. You know, our pastor, she's been a great influence, a great leader, and still full of wisdom. I still consult her, you know, regardless what people say. But there's some things that, some residue that's been left behind, y'all. There's some things that's been left behind for you and me to do. But how many seen God move miraculously? How many seen God drive out demons? You know? How many seen it? I've seen it. And that devil is still around. He's still wreaking havoc, causing chaos. He's doing the same thing that he did years ago, but our God still the same. Our God remains the same. He the same God that can deliver. Amen. He the same God that can deliver. But God is looking for somebody to say, send me. Lord, I go. I got a phone call. I got a text from my sister in the Lord. We were talking. She was saying that she met some people, know some people that were going through in their minds. You know, that was really struggling. You know, the torment. I mean, the devil was telling them to do this and telling them to do that. And, you know, we talked and I said, well, I'll do it. You know, I'll do what you say do, Lord. But God, you got to say something to me. I got to know that you want me to do this. I don't want to be just jumping, you know, because people called me. You know, how many know that, you know, back in the day, even today, you know, I had a relative in California, and he used to just wreak havoc. And then he'd go and get his big brother to fight his battles and him in trouble. His big brother would get locked up and all this other kind of stuff. And My elder cousin looked at me and said, "Do you call your brothers for everything that you get yourself into?" I said, "No, ma'am, I don't." He said, "Yeah, because one day he's going to call his big brother to his death one day." You know, you can call people. You keep clowning out there. You can cause your loved ones to get in trouble. Amen. But I don't want to be just running without God saying, "Do something." And so I started packing my bags. I started praying. I told my sister, I said, "I'll pray and see what God says, you know." And I just walked around the house. It was just me by myself and the Lord. And I just walked and I cased the house and I began to pray and seek God immediately, because people need to be made free. I know God, you know, he sent us out there to do. God is going to be behind us. God is working behind the scene. It's not us. You know, God just looking for us to go, to see if we're going to obey. All right. And so after I prayed, got exhausted in prayer and said, "Lord, I'm going to start packing my bags because I'm going to stay over my son's house the weekend." And so I got my green sweatsuit out, put it in the bag, got some other stuff, and I went to the room. And I looked at this green shirt and said, "Well, this is a match." Then the Spirit of the Lord said, "Get the blue shirt." "No, Lord, that don't match with this green here. I have my green Crocs on, and, you know, my green hoodie, and, you know, I'm going to be matching. I got this green shirt." He said, "Open up that green shirt and read it." So I opened it up, and I read, and it said, "Las Vegas." It was a souvenir shirt. He said, "Open up that blue shirt." And I opened up the blue shirt. I got it for a Christmas gift from Sister Brittany and Brother Dirk. And on the back of it, it was Isaiah. And the Lord was saying, "Who shall we send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Send me." That was my answer to go. And I said, "Lord, I go because you said go. If you send me, I go because I know God is going with me." Amen. And so I had to unpack my bag and put everything blue in there. But God is looking for somebody to say, "Send me, I'll go." You know, God is looking for somebody to seek him first. All right? We just don't just go and just spontaneously go and do these things unless you got an unction from the Holy Ghost, unless you live from the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so he's looking. God is the same God that he was yesterday. He's the same God today. If he delivers in, God is going to deliver today. But he's looking for that vessel that will obey him. And it's not us that's going to do the work. It's God that's going to do the work. Amen. It's always been God doing the work. Amen. And so I know that God can. Anybody know that God can? Yes. I know he can do it. We just got to depend on God. We got to trust God. Amen. We got to watch God work. He said, "Be still and know that I'm God." Amen. Be still and know that your God is God. It ain't never been you. It ain't never been the preacher. It ain't never been the deacon. It ain't never been the bishop. It ain't never been the apostle. It ain't never been the event. It's always been God. Amen. So we need God. We need him to work for us. Amen. We got him, but we got to have him. "Lord, do this for me. Lord, you can do it. Lord, do it for me. Do it for my sister. Do it for my brother. Do it for my neighbor, because I know you can." You know, we know God can do it. So, Father, since we know that you can, we're asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to look down today, Father God, and have pity and have mercy upon your people, Lord. Father, we pray for those, Father God, that are going through, Lord. We pray for those that are sick in the body. Lord God, those that are struggling, God, with illnesses, Lord God. Lord, we pray for them this morning, God. We ask, Father God, that you would look in on them, God. Touch and deliver, God. Make them free, God, and make them whole. And Father, we pray, God, that we, God, get your attention this morning. We ask, God, that you would just look on us today, God. The ones that are here, God, bless us, Father God, in this house. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that your word will go forth, God, and encourage, oh God. Deliver, Father God. Make people free, Father God, because this is your word. Now, God, we pray, Father God, that your Holy Spirit will lead and guide me, Lord God, for the time that you've given me, Father God. Use me, Lord God, I pray, God. Speak to me, God, and speak out of me, Father. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray. In your mighty name, Jesus, I pray, God. Let your perfect will be done. Let it be done, God. Let it be done. In your son, Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God one more good praise. One more good offering of praise this morning. He's good. Jeremiah chapter 13, I'm starting at verse 15. I'm going to get right to it. This is a chapter where God was warning his people. He was warning them. They've gotten to a place in their life to where they've gotten so proud, arrogant, prosperous to where they just couldn't hear God. And it's so easy to get in that place and forget God for those that don't know where their blessings come from. Amen. And you know where your health come from. You know where your wealth come from. You know it all comes from God, and you can't do nothing without God. Amen. And so God was telling his people, he said, hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he calls darkness and before your feet stumble up on the dark mountains. And while ye look for light, he turned it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. He said, look, give ear, Jeremiah telling these folks, give ear to God. Don't be so proud. You see, hearken to the voice of God. Listen to what God is saying. Give glory to your God right now. He calls darkness to come in your life. He said, don't be proud. We got to listen to what God says. Amen. We got to hear what God is saying. And if God speaks, all we need to do is listen and say amen. Amen. Whatever he say do, we just need to be found doing it and obeying God's word. Amen. You know, can I get a witness that we need to listen to what God is saying? Can I get a witness that we need to do what God say do? Amen. We got to do, and what God say do is just got to be amen. Amen. This was a people or a nation that was doing really good by the goodness and mercies of God. They were. But they failed to recognize where it was coming from. They were a self-confident people. They were a self-directed people. They were spiritually deaf. That's why God was telling Jeremiah to tell them, hear and give ear. God is telling people today that are self-confident, looking on their own righteousness, looking to go the way that they want to go, that they're self-directed, can't nobody direct them and tell them nothing. Amen. You know, they were spiritually deaf and they have lost their hearing. Amen. God give these folk a Holy Ghost hearing aid so they can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. But the ears have been stopped up by the self-will. They were convinced that they could manage life without God. How many know that you can go through this life successfully without God? You can go through this life without God, and so many are, but to be successfully, you can't do it without God. Amen. Success comes from God. And so they were convinced that they can manage their own life, and so many people convinced that they don't need God. You know, but we got to get out there and convince these folk that you need God. Amen. I found out in my walk, and I know you found out in your walk, that you can't do nothing without God. It's impossible to do anything without God. That's why the Bible tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in every way that you need to go. And he said he will direct your path. Amen. You believe that this morning? Yeah. You know, you got to know that you got to acknowledge God in every single way of yours. Not some of them, not the ones that you think God has already given me wisdom over this. You know, Seek him anyway. Amen. Try the spirit. Make sure it is God. You know, we like to, we're a rabbit type of spirit people. We like to spring into stuff automatically. And you got to sit back and survey the scene. You got to seek God, and the Holy Spirit got to be in you to direct you in the way you should go. Amen. Ezekiel put it like this, 3:7. He said, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. God said, for they will not hearken unto me. So people, when they don't listen to God, how you think they're going to listen to you? He said, these people are deaf. They are spiritually deaf. They are self-will, self-motivated, self-confident. You know, you got people out there that's just all about them. You know, they just self-this stuff. They ain't going to listen to you. God was saying, he said that they're too proud and they're high and lifted up. Let's go to Jeremiah 13:18, where he says to those ones that are high and lifted up. He's warning these people. He said, do this. Now listen to God. Obey God. Give God glory, he said in 16. He said, for before the Lord caused darkness. Amen. But these folk were so high and they were so halting and they were so lifted up and proud, they couldn't listen to nothing. They couldn't hear. There was, when we get to it, it was, they were so spiritually dead to where they had to be made alive again. Amen. They had to be brought back to life again. Their ears had to be brought back again. They had to have their eardrums replaced. So people got to have their eyes replaced. Because he said they have eyes and don't see, they have ears and they don't hear. So God got to do all that over. He says to them, he says, say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourselves. God is telling somebody this morning, he's telling the church, humble yourselves. And he said, sit down. God is telling folks, humble yourselves and sit yourself down. God said, if you don't humble yourself and sit down, he going to sit you down. Amen. He said, humble yourself and sit down, for the principalities, for your principalities shall come down. Even the crown of your glory. God knows how to lower people. He knows how to humble people. But God has given these people an opportunity. God has given us an opportunity to humble ourselves. Amen. Paul wrote to the Colossians and he said, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness. Put on these things, he said. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, and humility. And humble yourself, James 4:10 said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. So many people want to be lifted up, want to be exalted. Humble yourself. Lower yourself. Lower your thoughts. They help you. Amen. Help you. Anybody out there lifting themselves up, God about to bring you down if you don't humble yourself. Peter said, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. We better humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, because God's hand is mighty. Amen. You don't want God's hand to fall upon you. You want his hand to cover you and rescue you and comfort you. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. There's a due season for you to be exalted. And don't be looking to be exalted. Just humble yourself. God going to exalt you. He going to lift you up. Amen. God going to bring you up. He said, casting all cares upon him, for he cares for you. So God will exalt you. He'll lift you up. And he's the only one that can do it. God is the only one that can lift you up and exalt you. Amen. How many believe God is the only one? You can lift yourself up, but you can only lift yourself up for a while. You can only lift yourself up so high. Amen. But God is so great and so mighty. God lifts people up for his purpose. He lifts you up for his glory. Because when God lifts you up into these high places, in these big places, you're going to be walking around there talking about God, and they're going to get sick and tired of you talking about God. But God loves what you're doing. He loves that you are lifting him up. He loves that you're letting people, letting the whole world know that it was God and not me. Amen. It wasn't none of me. I ain't that smart. You know, some of us barely made out of high school. Amen. Some of us barely made out of high school, but look where God put us. Amen. Some of us, like me, say, Lord, I never thought I'd be in the position I'm in today. I thought it was just impossible. I thought it was just unattainable. But God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or even think. Amen. It wasn't even on your mind, but it was on God's mind to put you in a place where you are today. It was on his mind. That's why he said, I know the thoughts I think toward you. He don't care about what anybody else think about you. He don't care about what you think about yourself. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, he says. Thoughts of peace and not evil to give you an expected end. And our end ain't there yet. We ain't at the end yet. We're almost there, amen. We're almost there. And he says, the cities of the south shall be shut up and none shall open them. Judah shall be carried away and captive, all of it. It shall be wholly carried away captive. And he says, lift up your eyes and behold them that come from the north. Where is the flock that was given thee, thy beautiful flock? What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? Brother Al, what you preaching? You're preaching God is going to punish. We know God is love. God loves us. Preach some God love. God loves you. He's giving us warning. Amen. Somebody need to hear this. I know y'all doing what you're supposed to do. Amen. I know you're doing what God told you to do. But somebody needs to hear this. He said, what wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? For thou hast taught them to be captains. And as chiefs over them, shall not sorrow take thee as a woman in travail? Let me read this in the Amplified Version so we can get a better understanding of what God is saying to us, to this people that he's talking about, to those that are high and lifted up, to those that are proud and those that are self-confident, those that are self-directed. Let me read this in the Amplified Version. He said, what will you say, O Jerusalem, when the Lord appoints foreign nations to rule over you? Those foreigners, those former friends and allies whom you have encouraged to be your companions, will not pain seize you like that of a drinking? What God is saying, look, those people that we had as your friends, those allies, your next door neighbors, Africa and all of these folk that we have allies with, God said, if we don't get this thing right as a nation, our allies are going to run away from us. They ain't going to be beside us no more. We're going to be found being ruled by them according to the world. Amen. If we don't get it right. So what will you say, Jerusalem? We're Jerusalem today. Amen. When the Lord appoints foreign nations to rule over you, why would God do such a thing? Why would God appoint rulers over us? Because of this proud look that we have. Because of the stiff neck that we have. Amen. That's why it's important for us to pray for our leaders. Amen. And he said, and if thou shalt say in thy heart, here we go, wherefore come these things upon us? Why is this happening to us, Lord? What did we do? What do we do to deserve this? We are a great nation. We are a great people. We fast, we pray. Yes, we do, Lord. We have church every Sunday. We're here on Wednesdays and Fridays, Lord. God is telling somebody, not in this congregation, God is speaking that we got to humble ourselves. We got to be brought low. We got to bring ourselves low before we get brought low. Amen. But God is merciful. He said, for the greatness of thy iniquity in the skirts, and thy skirts discovered in the hill, it's because of the guilt that our skirts going to be ripped off from us to expose the sin. God is going to expose all sin, not just here in the nation. He's going to start with the church first. People look and see what's going on in the nations. God's going to start at the household of faith first. That what he said? Judgment is going to come from the house first because his people got to get it right. His people is going to be one been sent out there. His people, he's looking to go out there into the labors, into his vineyards. Amen. God going to do it. And then he says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Can he eat the open, change his skin, and leper his spots? Then may he also do good that are accustomed to do evil. God is saying that they were so accustomed to doing evil, doing what they feel like, saying what they want to say, being what they want to be instead of being what God wants you to be, instead of saying God what God wants you to say. He said they were so accustomed. They were just so used to doing this stuff that they just couldn't do right. You know, how many know that you can do wrong so long it just become a part of you? It becomes second nature. You know, you don't even know that you're doing wrong. You do wrong for so long. Amen. God is saying if they this Ethiopian can change his skin, if the leper can change his spots, he said, then you are able also to do good. He was telling them that they weren't able to do good because the wrong that they've done so long. You know, God is telling some people that, no, you can't change your spots. You can't change your color. God is talking about this deep-rooted sin that has grown, that we have been grown accustomed to. Amen. They were doing it so long to where they just can't get out of it themselves. And that's why God is telling us to go to get them out. Set the captive free. Amen. You know, God wants you to go and speak a word to somebody. You know, hope deferred, the Bible tells us, make a heart sick. Because people are hoping and are hoping and been hoping and hoping that they ain't got no help. But he said, when a good word make it glad. Where the good word going to come from? It's going to come from you and me. Where the good word going to come? It's going to come from the church. Amen. The church is supposed to have a good word for the world. Amen. And we got a good word. We got a good word that Jesus saying that God can do it. God can do anything. Can he do anything? Can God do anything? Yes, he can do anything. God was talking about this deep-rooted sin that they had grown accustomed to. We can't never be accustomed to this sin. We got to call it what it is. Sin is sin. Wrong is wrong. Amen. It is what it is. And they couldn't change the spots, he was saying. It was impossible for an Ethiopian, for any person, to change their spots. And so many people are relying on their own righteousness, like they were relying on their own goodness. They were relying on their own righteousness. But Isaiah put it like this. He said, but we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness is as filthy rags. So we need God to clean us up. Amen. We need God to lead and guide us. We need God for our own righteousness. Jeremiah knew the issue wasn't that God couldn't change the Ethiopian's color. Amen. He knew that wasn't the issue. He was trying to send them a message. God is trying to send us. You might be able to change your colors. You know, we got devices. We got things out there that we can change our color. You know, some of us put on that light, that skin, to lighten our tone. Amen. Some get up under the heat lamp. You know, some people, they do all kind of things to change the color. But once, it's only a temporary fix. Amen. God ain't looking for you to change. God wasn't looking, wasn't concerned about what he looked like on the outside. God made him in the first place. He made you in the first place. He know what he did. You know, he wasn't concerned about you changing your color. In fact, he liked what he did. He said everything that he made was good. Amen. So people just ain't pleased with themselves because of the stuff that they do. They ain't pleased with their own identity. Be who God made you to be. Amen. Be who you are. God wants you to be unique. He wants you to stand out and be great. Regardless, you're black, you're white, you're brown, I don't care what color. God wants you to be what he made you. He wants you to be a man if he made you a man. He wants you to be a woman if he made you a woman. He wants you to be a boy, boy, be a boy. Girl, you be a girl. Amen. That's what God wants you to be. But people are trying to change this thing. But he said, can an Ethiopian change his color? Can a leper change his spot? These are things that's impossible. Amen. He couldn't change his color. You, you, You're brown Ethiopian, stay one. You're yellow Ethiopian, stay one. You're white, stay one. You're black, stay what you are. Amen? They couldn't do it. So Jeremiah knew this wasn't the case, that God couldn't do this thing. But man, you know, tried to change himself. He tried to do it. God wasn't looking for what he looked like on the inside. Man couldn't reform himself. Man couldn't do the unthinkable. He can't do the impossible. He can't do it. But God, he's the only one that can do the impossible. He's the only one that can do the unthinkable. With these things, all these things are possible with God. Only God can do it. Amen. Can God do this? God can do it. We need God to do it. Amen. We need God to change hearts. We need God to renew the minds. Amen. It's going to take God. You know, Jesus said unto them, it will be hard for a rich man. It will be hard for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he's really hard for him. And he said, it would be easier that a camel would go through an eye of a needle than a rich man enter the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard this, they were exceedingly amazed, the Bible says. And they asked him, they said, then who in the world can be saved? How is it possible that we can be saved, Lord, if a rich man can hardly enter into the kingdom of God? God didn't say a rich man couldn't enter in there. He said it would be hard on a contingency. If he's relying on his riches, on his possessions, if he don't loose them when God say loose them, if you don't give them when God say give them, that's what's going to make it hard for a rich man. But God never said that it would be hard, that a rich man wouldn't make it in there. He said it would be hard for him. You know, that's why it would be hard for a rich man, because his unbelief, you know, that he didn't have no anchor in God. He didn't have no safety in Jesus. Amen. You got to have your anchor in the Lord. Amen. You got to know that your riches, your possessions, your houses, these things, not even your strength, is going to cause you to enter into the kingdom of God. But Jesus looked at them and he said, with men, this is impossible. With the Ethiopian, he can't change his color. The leper can't change his spot. But God can change his color. God can do it. He can cause a rich man. Yes, he can. He can cause a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. God can get a hold of the rich man's heart just like he got a hold of your heart. Just like he got a hold of you. You just may not have been rich. Rich or poor, God get a hold of the heart. And it calls you to enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. God can do it. We need God. Amen. We need God to do these things. We need God to change our hearts. We need God to regulate our minds. You know, with God, all things are possible. With my God, your God, it's possible. Amen. What can't God do? What can't this God do? He changed the water into wine, didn't he? You know, could man change water into wine? It's impossible for man to do that. God shook a mountain. Amen. God put life into the barren womb. That womb that couldn't have baby. God made that womb bear fruit. Amen. Man can't do that. Man can't bring the dead back to life again. Man, he can't bring that womb back to life. Amen. You know, he raised the dead. He healed the sick. He made the lame to walk again. He caused the blind to see. He took a stony heart like yours and mine and made it flesh where you would obey God. What can't God do? God can do it. Ethiopian, the man can't reform himself. Man can't change his color. God can change your color. I've heard that God got a hold of certain people. And when God really dealt with them and got in their heart, got in their spirit, somebody said, boy, he's a shade lighter now. He's a couple shades lighter. I believe God can do anything. I believe God can make that Ethiopian change his color. I believe he can make a camel go through an eye of a needle. I believe God can do it. I believe that there's nothing impossible for God to do. God don't want you putting no limits on him. He don't want you putting no limits. But God was interested, not what's on the outside of this man. He's not interested what's on the outside. God is interested what's going on inside of you. He's interested in what's going on inside of your heart. Can you believe me? Can you believe that I can heal? Can you believe that I can drive out devils? Can you really believe that? Can you believe that I can heal your neck? Huh, brother? Can you believe, sister, that he can heal your neck? Huh? You believe God can heal your mind? You believe God can heal your head? Did you believe it? Huh? I believe God. He's done it before. Amen. God has done it before. So we need God, not man. We need God to do this. Man can't do it. It's impossible with man. Amen. It's impossible with man. But all things are possible with God. So if God can change water into wine, God can heal your body. If he shook the mountains, he can make the devil flee. Amen. Jeremiah was saying, what can't God do if you humble yourself unto him? God is looking for some humble people. He ain't looking for the proud, stiff-necked people. He's looking for people that's going to humble themselves. Even in that situation, he's looking for people to humble themselves. He ain't looking for nobody trying to make themselves look good. God will move mountains for you if you believe him. Amen. God do anything for you. He'll open doors for you. He'll drive the devil out for you. Only God can do it. Only God is able to do it. He can fix anything. Amen. But it has to be God. It's got to be God and God only. It can be done, but we need God to do it. How many know we need God to do it? He wasn't interested in how we looking on the outside. God ain't looking for that kind of stuff. And like I say, you know, if you could change your color. You know, people can change themselves on the outside. It'll be a temporary fix. How many know you're going to look one way today, but after a while you're going to come back to how you started off looking. Amen. It's a temporary thing. How many know it ain't a lifetime thing. It ain't a lifetime. You know, you still going to be the same old person. When you come back, when that cream wore off, my mama used to have us using Ambi to lighten spots in our skin. Y'all don't know anything about Ambi, that facial stuff. And boy, after a while, you got to keep it. It's a lightening cream. There's some cream that you put on your body that makes you light. You know, we had splotches on our bodies and you got to keep applying that stuff, but you don't know what it's doing to your body. You have no idea what it's doing to your body. And so you can do all of that all you want, and you still be the same old person, the same mean, grumpy, lying, cheating, backstabbing, conniving, two-faced, even. You be the same old person. You're going to need a permanent fix. You're going to need somebody that can fix this thing for sure. We need God to fix it. What God does, he does it right. And when God do something, it's a permanent fix. Amen. How many believe when God saved you, he saved you? Then that was a permanent fix. King Solomon wrote this in Ecclesiastes 3:14. He said, I know that everything God does endure forever. You got to believe that everything God does is a permanent fix. It endures forever. It may not feel like it in your body. It may not feel like it in your life. But God, everything God does for you, it's a permanent fix. It's already done. By his stripes, you are already healed. That's what the Bible say. Amen. Peter said, by whose stripes we were healed. You healed already. What God does, he does. It's not like going to some place where you get this limited warranty. You know, you go buy stuff. What kind of warranty I get with this? Well, you only get 3 years. You get 5-year warranties. I wish they had a lifetime warranty on washers and dryers. I wish they had a lifetime warranty on refrigerators. I wish they had them on cars. But you only get 36,000 miles or 3-year warranty. And you know after that stuff just start falling apart. It start falling all apart. Now you got to fork money out to get that stuff. But what I like about him, lifetime. God gives you a lifetime guarantee. You know, your eternal salvation is lifetime. It ain't limited. It don't wear out. You got it right now, today. Even though you're not over eternity, that warranty you still got by the blood of Jesus Christ. So when God does something, he permanently does it. Amen. You fixed forever. You are totally fixed. You're permanently fixed. when you are in Christ. Amen. Because you become a new creature. Old things, that old warranty that I had on this body, it fades away. But I got a new warranty. I got a warranty that says, whatever I need, God got it. Whatever I want, God's got it. If my knee need to be fixed, God got it. If my back need to be cracked, God can do it. Amen. God got it all. I got everything. You got everything that you need in God. Amen. Everything. You're permanently made, permanently fixed, permanently taken care of. You know, God don't do nothing halfway. His mercy, the Bible tells us, it endures for what? For a lifetime. Amen. His love, the Bible tells us, is everlasting. Amen. His goodness and his mercy follow you, not some of your days, all the days of your life. Goodness, David said, and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God does, when he do something, he do it right. And he got you covered. Amen. God got you covered from bumper to bumper. Amen. He got your house covered. He got your air conditioner covered. He got your roof covered. God got everything covered in you. Amen. But you just got to trust God. You got to humble yourself and know that God is God. You got to let go of what you got and tell God, okay, God, give me what you got. Not my will, God, but your will. Amen. I can't do this. Jeremiah knew that the Ethiopian can't change his color. I can't do this, Lord, but I know a God that can do it. I know a God that will do it. Do you know him? If you don't know him, we can tell you about him. His name's Jesus. He can do anything. And he won't leave nothing undone. Amen. He can do it all. God can do this thing. He makes us a new creature. Amen. Jeremiah 17:14 says this. He said, heal me, O Lord, and I shall, not might be. He said, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. I'm not only talking about viruses and flus and COVIDs and all of these other viruses, but from the disease of sin. Jeremiah knew what he was talking about. He said, heal me and I shall be healed. We got to know, if God says we healed, then we are what? Healed. He knew that, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed, no matter what the doctors say. But that ain't all God wanted to do. He just don't want to just heal you of the common cold. Just brought our sister out the bedroom, out of her sick bed for whatever the common cold she had. Amen. God brought us out of these common colds, brought you out of darkness into a marvelous light. But God is stirring this up. He want to go deeper. He want to get to the root of the problem. That sin, the disease of sin. God can heal you of that. If he heal you of the disease of sin, if God saved you, then you're saved. They say the difference between the virus and the disease is that a virus is a microscopic pathogen. It's the germ. I know y'all know probably this already. It's the germ that invades the body. Come on, y'all, ought to be fine. I'm going somewhere. There's something out there that's invading our bodies. There's a virus out there. Man can't handle this virus. He can put a band-aid on those other viruses, amen. God can heal you of all of them, amen. But this virus, this sin, this disease that is out there, you know, while a disease is a physical condition or illness, the results from that invasion of the germ, that's what that disease comes from. It comes from the germ. Think of this virus as the culprit and the disease as the crime scene or the damage that it left behind. That's why James said, then when lust has conceived, it bring forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bring forth death. So the virus, which is out there that's running around, a spiritual virus, is doubt and disbelief and disobedience. That's the sin that God don't like. Amen. That sin caused all kind of havoc. It wreaks havoc in the people body. It is the cause, it's the problem, and disease is the effect. It's the effect the crime scene or the damage that's left behind. You know, when this virus get a hold of people, this lying virus, this sin that gets in people, that causing people not to believe and doubt God, to lift themselves up against God, it leaves something behind. Amen. It causes a disease. This virus get in people. Spiritual virus, the spiritual wickedness. Amen. It gets into God's people and causes them to disbelieve God, not obey God, don't have no faith in God. Amen. And all of this leaves damage. It caused something. It caused us to lie. It caused us to cheat. It leaves behind murder, adultery, stealing, covetousness, hatred, envy, strife, lust, which is the sin that leaves a mess. That's why God is telling us we got to know that when God heal us, we are healed. Don't think that when God take you out of this worldly life, that you ain't healed. That stuff that you used to have, you ain't got it no more. That sin that will carry you to hell, you ain't got it no more. God cleans you. Amen. Who the Son make free is free indeed. That's why Jeremiah said, Lord, you hear me, regardless of what they say. I may have been an alcoholic, but I ain't now no more. I may have been a liar, but I ain't now no more. People still see you as you were. Amen. But God don't see you like they see you. God knew what you was. Amen. He knew you was the Ethiopian that couldn't change your color. He knew that you were the leper that couldn't change your spots. God knew that you were that person that couldn't just shake that bad habit. You couldn't do it. But God can. Amen. Tell somebody that God can do it. God can do anything. It's time for us to let the world know that God can do it. But we got to know first that God can do it. And God will do it. We got to believe it without a shadow of a doubt. That God can do it. God will do it. And so this disease, this virus causes this disease. It leaves us in a mess. Amen. And we can see that the world is in a mess. Paul writes in 6:23, he said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. We need that gift. Amen. A lot of folk need that gift. He said, but God is able to heal. That's what Jeremiah said. It doesn't matter what the doctor say. It don't matter what they say. It ain't nothing too hard for God. He said, heal me and I'll be healed. Save me and I shall be saved. You know, a lot of folk are saved and they're letting people steal their salvation. Don't let the devil steal your salvation with that lying tongue. He said, for thou art my praise. You know, I know what you did for me, God. People might question your salvation, but that's all right. Let them question. They don't understand what God done for you. They don't know what he brought you out of. You know, your salvation is yours. Let them get their own salvation. I mean, no, people need to save their own self from this wicked, untoward generation. That's what the word says. You know, some people look at you, they might think that you ain't saved. They talk about you because when you speak up, speak the word to them, they don't like what you said. I get this often. You're supposed to be a man of God. You're supposed to be the man of the cloth. I said, I know what I am. I'm going to pray for you. I said, that's good. I can use all the prayer I can get. I said, please pray for me. But when you pray for me, don't forget about you. It's your all on the altar. I don't mind being on the altar. Pray for me, but pray for you too. Amen. Pray for yourself. The Bible says, save yourself from this wicked, untoward generation. I don't mind nobody praying for me. Pray for me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I know I need prayer. So thank you for praying for me. But don't think that you all that in the bag of chips. Don't think that you all good with God because you see a mote in my eye and got a beam in yours. Amen. Pray for yourself because you need help. When you don't see that you need help, something wrong with you. Amen. I know I need help. That's why I pray every day, Lord, help me. I pray before the count, Lord, help me. Because I know God can do it. People can't help me. They can help me along alone. They can help me alone, but God can get me out of it. I don't want to keep going along the way. I need to come out of the way of it. So I know God can help me. I know God can deliver. I know God will do it. But while you're praying for me, get yourself down on the altar and pray for you. Is your all on the altar? You got to make sure you are all the way on the altar, not some of you. You can't be halfway out there in the world and halfway in here on the altar. Put it all on the altar. Put it all out there. Amen. Peter said, repent. We got to repent. Be baptized for the remission of your sin. Amen. And so if God heals you, you heal, my brother and my sister. If God saved you, you are saved. Amen. But we need God to do it. We need God. I want to read this 41st chapter, but I know time is getting past us, and I don't want you to be so long for you. But let me read. It's going to take God. How many know it's going to take God? It's got to be God. We can try all we want, but it's got to be God. But I found Job 41 so fascinating. And it talks about the Leviathan. Y'all know what the Leviathan is. To me, the way he described this thing, it's like a huge sea beast, like a big old sea creature. Nothing but the devil. Can I read it for a little? Can I read some of it so you can paint you a good picture? Do y'all got time this morning? Amen. Do y'all have a little bit more time? Job 41 and 1 said, he's telling Job after Job, you know how we do, we go through so much and we begin to complain a little bit. Amen. We begin to forget who God is and what God can do. And he said, can you pull in the Leviathan with a hook or tie his tongue down with a rope? Can you put a cord through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he beg you for mercy or speak softly to you? Will he make a covenant with you so that you can take him and take him as a slave forever? Can you play with him like a bird or put him on a leash for your girls, your maidens? This is another version, so you can get a good picture of what this thing is, what God is trying to say. Will traders bargain for him or divide him among the merchants? Can you fill his hide with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? He's saying, can you pierce him with harpoons? Derek, I'm reading another version here. And I know they're looking like, what is he talking about? I'm on verse 7. Now I'm going to verse 8. Can you lay hands on him? And will you remember the battle and never repeat it? He said, lay your hands on this beast. You're going to always remember this battle. Amen. He's just painting this picture how bad this thing is. Amen. He's painting a picture how bad the devil is. He said, any hope of capturing him proves false. Does a person not collapse at the very sight of him? He must be a big, bad thing. He said, no one is ferocious enough to rouse the Leviathan. Who then can stand against me? Come on, now he's trying to tell you who he is. God is trying to tell you who he is. Who confronted me that I should repay him? Everything under the heaven belongs to me. I cannot be silent. God can't be quiet because you want him to be quiet. He said, I cannot be silent about this, about his limbs, his power, and his graceful proportion. Who can strip off his outer covering? Who can penetrate his double layer armor? Who can open his jaw surrounded by the terrifying teeth? His pride is in the rows of his scale, closely sealed together. One scale is so close to another that no air can pass between them. They are joined to one another so closely connected they cannot be separated. His snorting flashes light, while his eyes are like the rays of dawn. Flaming torches shoot from his mouth. Fiery sparks fly out. Smoke billows from his nostril as from the boiling point. as from a boiling point or burning reed. His breath sets coals ablaze, and flames pour out of his mouth. Strength resides in his neck, and dismay dances before him. The folds of his flesh are joined together, solid as metal and immovable. He painted a picture of a bad beast, ain't he? His heart is as hard as a rock, as hard as a lower millstone. When Leviathan rises, the mighty are terrified. They withdraw before the thrashing. The sword that reaches him will have no effect. No spear or dart or arrow will have no effect on him. This thing has got to be bad. There's no weapon going to form against this beast. I don't care what man has, God is saying, that it can't handle this creature that I'm describing to you. He said he regards iron as straw and bronze as rotten wood. No arrow can make him flee. Sling stones become like stubble to him. A club is regarded as stubble, and he laughs at the sound of a javelin. His undersides are jagged, potches spreading the mud like a thrashing sledge. He makes the depth seethe like a cauldron. He makes the sea like an ointment jar. He leaves a shining wake behind him. One would think the deep had gray hairs. He has no equal on earth, a creature devoid of fear. He surveys everything that is haughty. He is king over all the proud beasts. God just painted to us how great and terrifying this creature is. The Leviathan he talks about, it describes as a massive, fearsome sea creatures. You know, something far beyond human control. That's what he just said. You know, don't care what kind of weapon that they had, it wouldn't penetrate his skin. It wouldn't penetrate his underbelly. This Leviathan is a spiritual resemblance, a spiritual metaphor to us. Amen. Spiritually, Leviathan means chaos, pride, rebellion, uncontrollable, and a force that opposes God. Now, we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We know we ain't fighting this devil, you know, literally, you know, naturally. Amen. So we know who we're fighting. And this thing that God just painted before us, it ain't nothing but the enemy. It ain't nothing but the devil. The devil comes to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. Amen. Who, he said, Job. He said, who can do this? I'm telling Job, ain't a man out there that can do this. Ain't a man out there that can cease the chaos. There is not a man out there that can bring the pride out low. There is not a man out there that can help the rebellious out there. There is not a man out there that can control the uncontrolled. There is not a man out there. He's asked Job a question. He said, who can do this, Job? Who can tame this beast? I know we need a God that can do it. We got a God that can tame this beast. We all, that's Job 42, Job answers this. He said, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. We all need to answer the way Job. I know God. God can, he said, I know, Lord. He had to humble himself. I know that you can do everything. We say God can do anything. Job said, I know you can do everything. We got to know that God can do any and everything. Amen. I know a God that can that can handle the chaos. I know a God that can handle the prideful spirit. I know a God that can handle the rebellious spirit. I know God that can control the incontrollable. Amen. I know a God that can handle the forces that come against him, the forces that come against his people. I know a God, and he sits in heaven, and his name is Jesus. He sits high and he looks low. He's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that we have to do it. Amen. He can do it. Only God can do this. Only God can handle this spirit. This is a Leviathan spirit that's living, that's out here in the world today. People are so prideful. They're so haughty. They're self-motivated. Amen. They're not driven and by the Spirit of God. Amen. But it's going to take God. With man, this is totally impossible. There's not a man that God is going to raise up that's going to do this. There's a man that God already rose up. He rose again, and his name is Jesus. He's got to come back and put this devil in check. Amen. But right now, we can put him under our feet where he belongs today. Chaos don't rule us. Rebellious don't rule us. Amen. It don't rule us. Our spirits are in check. We're not incontrollable. We don't let the devil have us tossed to and fro by every sound of doctrine. We're steadfast. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Always abounding in God's work. Amen. But I know a God, your God, my God, the God of the heavens, that can handle this beast, that can handle any situation that you're in. People are going through today. But we got to know that God can do it. It ain't a thing that God can't handle. It's impossible for us to do it. It's very impossible. I know Paul said we can do all things. I know you're sitting out there saying, well, Paul said we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. We sure can do it. And that's the only way we can do it, through Christ. So don't try to do nothing without God. Implement God in everything that you do. I mean everything. The smallest thing. The minute thing. God can do it. So God ain't concerned about how chaotic it is out here. He ain't worried not one bit. He ain't worried about those that are rebelling against him. He ain't worried. You think God's sitting up there worrying, scratching his head about, well, they rebel. I mean, what shall we do? Who do God have to counsel with? Who can go for his counsel? What's going on down there? What we got to call a meeting? God said, I'm God. I rule the world. Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. I'm God and God alone. There is none like me. He ain't got to counsel nobody. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his instructor? Huh? No, not one, not one. Only God has the answer. He is the answer to your problem this morning. God is the answer to your issue. He's the answer to your issue. He's the answer to your problem. God is the answer. He delivers. Amen. He delivers. He make the captives free. Amen. So we got a God. We got to know that God can do it. Don't worry about the chaos. Don't worry about what's going on in this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen. God gonna see you through it. He's been seeing you, walking you through it all your life. You ain't made it this far on your own. God was with you when you didn't know he was with you. When you thought you were doing this thing on your own. I was doing fine. By the grace of God, you was. You know, come on, you know God was with you when you were a sinner. That's what the Bible said. You know, he commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. You know, God's love has always been up on you. You know, the baddest sinner, God love him. He love him. But he said, I got to get you out. I got to get you out of that sin. That's a disease that's going to kill you. A lot of folk doing stuff that's going to kill them. Amen. But God, we serve a God that can. We serve a God that will. With man, Jesus said, it is impossible. But with God, all things, even in today's living, all things are possible. God's hand is not short that he can't deliver. Amen. God still can deliver. He delivered the same way he delivered last. God got all kind of ways to deliver. Amen. So be encouraged this morning, saints of God. That old devil who walks around prowling as if though he's a lion seeking whom he may devour, he can only come so far unless God loosen the leash. And if God loosen the leash, he still can't do nothing to you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. None. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rise up against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn it, he said. Know that God is God, and he won't fail you. Amen. Has God ever failed you?
No.
God ain't never failed us. We failed him, but God still loves you. Disappointed him, but he still loves you. Some of us walked away from him, but he still loved you. Amen. Yeah. What can't God do is the question that you have to ask your next trial. Ask your next trial, your next test. What can't God do? God can do anything. There's nothing more powerful than our God. Amen. God bless you this morning. I hope that you were encouraged. I hope that you know that God can. You got to tell somebody God can. We got to get out there and tell somebody God can handle the chaos out here. He can handle the rebellion. You know, the rebellion in our houses. We got some rebellion, you know, children in our houses. God can handle it. You know, I know he can. God can fix it. And it'll be a permanent fix. You know, you ain't got to worry about it breaking down. Well, God fixed. You go to certain places and they fix your cars and fix your houses. You got to call them back. You didn't do that right. I can't call God and say, Lord, you didn't do this right. When God did something for you, he did everything right. Amen. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have eternal life. God fix it forever if you accepted him. Know that he's God and he won't fail you. Let's stand to your feet. He won't fail you, even in the midst of the chaos. He can do it. I'm going to pray for you again, Sister Tina. He told me before service, though, to pray for you. And I said, Lord, I'm going to lay hands on you again, on your head, on your head. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know, God, that I can't do nothing. I can't do nothing on my own. I can't do nothing without you, Lord. But God, with you, God, with your instruction, God, with your spirit, God, I know I can do all things. So, Father, as you have said to me, Lord God, power, by your power, by the Holy Ghost, Lord God, I speak healing to her mind, God. I speak healing over her head, Father God. Lord, I command the devil to leave her and never return again, God. In your name, Jesus. No other name, but in your name, Jesus. I know you can do it, Lord. I've seen you do it before, God. So, God, you know, respect the person. Do it for our sister, Lord, for your servant, oh God. Lord, I believe she's waiting for it, God. I believe, God, she's believing you for it, God. So, Lord, God, it's going to take you, God, with man, God, with your people, Lord, God. It's impossible. But with you, God, all things are possible. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over you right now. Lord, God, I loose healing upon her life, Lord. In the name of Jesus, God. By your power, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let it be so, God. Let her feel, God, your healing virtue, Lord. Let her feel it, God, even today, God. Even right now, God. Lord, God, I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can do it, God. Yes, I am, God. I'm positively, God. Sure, God, you can do it, God. Lord, I'm positively sure, God, that you can do it and you will do it. Lord God, and I just say it, God. It's done. It's done, God. It's finished, God. It's finished, God. This is a finished product, God, of yours, Lord God. This is a finished product of yours, Jesus. Oh, God, thank you right now, God. Lord God, let her experience it, God. Let her experience it, God. Today, God. Lord God, to lift you up, God, and give you glory, God. God knows we can't do it. He knows that we can't do it. But we know he can do it. He can do it. He has done it. It's done. Can you say it's done? Do you believe it's done? Amen. We touch and believe that it's done. Amen. By Christ Jesus' name. It's already done. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord God. Now, God, we thank you, Lord God, for this service today, God. We thank you for what you already done, Lord. Father, we thank you for the healing processes, oh God, that's taking place. We thank you for the miracle, Lord God, today, God. We thank and praise you for your word, God. We know, Father God, that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or even think. God, we ain't concerned about the chaos, God. That's what the world is concerned about, God. Lord God, you're concerned about what's inside of us, God, our hearts, oh God. So, Father, I pray, Father God, today, God, that you keep on working on our hearts, Lord God. Yes, Lord God, keep working on us, Lord. God, give us that peace in you. In the name of Jesus, God, as we leave this place, but never from your presence, God. God, we thank you for always being with us, Lord, until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.